Jeff Woods joins us. Woods, how you doing?
Very good, Mr. Greger. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm great, man. Lots happening. Some big trades in the National Hockey League, so it's always fun to see what's happening. Maybe it's not as fun for those players involved sometimes, not brute their family and everything, but the young guy's probably a little bit easier than it is a guy with two kids mid-season, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Today, I want to talk about, you know, Leon Draisaitl, you know, had a lot of focus on a guy who clearly got faster, no doubt about it. You know, worked hard, did a lot of off-ice training, lifting weights and lunges and everything, and it worked. Now, he's obviously blessed with some good DNA. So I want to, like, how much is there the restrictions of getting faster? Because some people might share the work ethic, but they just don't have the physical ability to improve their speed. Like, when do we know, you know, whether a person has a quick twitch muscles or more of the slow, quick muscles?
Right. Okay. So a couple of things here. You're absolutely right. Fast twitch muscle fiber and slow twitch muscle fiber heavily influenced by our genetics. And obviously we have no control over that. So I guess, you know, one way of just understanding would be through evaluation. So if you and I, Greger, are out on the track and we're going to run 100 meters together, you know, if the very best you can do is run 100 meters in 14 or 15 seconds, that's not world-class speed. I would be inclined to evaluate you as probably having more slow twitch fibers. Consequently, at the other end of the spectrum, for somebody who's going to run, you know, 10 or 11 seconds, it would be apparent that you might have more fast twitch muscle fiber. Again, for somebody who could go and, like, we had a business partner who was a great endurance athlete at the studio. He couldn't break 15 seconds in a 100-meter race, but he could run that 15-second pace, like, for miles, and he could do marathons like that. So he had more oxidative, or what we call slow-twitch muscle fiber. And that was his genetic makeup. The only other way you could really tell, you can do a muscle biopsy where you actually take a core sample of the muscle and you can evaluate the fibers that way. But it's very painful and not practical, obviously. But,
And I asked that question because, you know, sometimes you'll and I've had situations where, you know, parents are, you know, he's not working or she's not working hard enough. They're not getting quicker. Well, sometimes you just, your body can only go to a certain level. Are there things when you maybe you're 14, 15, where we can see in young kids that will tell if you have more fast or more slow twitch muscles?
Well, again, Greger, the only way I can, again, the best way, again, is just through evaluation. You know, for those young kids that, you know, can move with confidence and move quickly, and like I say, cover grid systems, doing cone drills and things like that, you know, against their peers, you'll see some kids that are just going to be faster than the others. Now, again, the ones that are slower, obviously, that's a signal. That's a sign that maybe they just don't have the same sort of fast twitch, you know, fiber composition as some of the other kids. And it is so, like, influenced by genetics. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Now, you can work on becoming more efficient and covering grids with greater ease through practice. And that influences how fast you're going to cover the system. But again, I have to reiterate, you can't sort of change your fiber composition. So now, as far as the training goes, though, there are certain things that influence, like, activating fast twitch muscle fibers to work. So you should understand this, Greger. Number one, there's three different types of muscle fiber, slow twitch, fast twitch, and there's two different types of fast twitch muscle fiber. There's fast twitch A and B, and they tire faster than the slow twitch fibers. Then the type 2 fast twitch fibers, they tire out really quick, but those are the fibers that generate the most power. So that would be the kind of fibers responsible for your vertical jump, for example, so like for a basketball player. So the things that you would do as an athlete, first, get strong. And it's the heavier lifting zones, failing between 1 and 5 repetitions, that activates fast twitch muscle fiber.
It does.
It does.
Okay. Why is that? Okay.
Why? Well, it's just because of the motor unit recruitment. Like, it's the load that is responsible for innervating those fibers to be stimulated.
Okay.
again, if you don't place that really heavy demand on your muscle fibers, you'll never tap into forcing the fast twitch fibers to work.
Okay.
So from that, the next step, like when you're doing drills, once you get strong, progressing to like these cone drills or doing track drills, you have to be able, or even over speed training. And all that is, like, if you're a runner where you actually decline a treadmill 2 or 3 degrees, or you find surface area where you've got a slight downgrade and you try to sprint for just 10 or 15 seconds. But it would be important that you don't get into a downhill grade that's more than 3 or 4 degrees. You want the speed of your turnover of your feet to go just a little bit faster than whatever your maximal effort would be in a 10 or 15 second run. Okay?
Yep.
The other thing, jump drills. So with depth jumps or the jump drills, it puts a huge stress on the eccentric phase, on the lengthening of our muscles. And that's where we generate a lot of power, because it fine-tunes what we call that stretch shortening cycle. It doesn't matter what sort of reactive drill that you do, whether you're lifting weights, whether you're skating and playing hockey, the muscles stretch really quick first, and then they shorten really quick. So when you do jump drills, it improves that efficiency, that stretch shortening cycle. So that would be important to sort of engage in some jump training. And then probably one of the last things that as a young athlete you could look at is to do some contrast load training. So all that is, like, to give you an example, so you might be working at 75 to 100% of whatever your maximum squat load might be. You're going to finish a set where you are going to fail somewhere in that 5-repetition range. You're going to rest for about 60 seconds, and then you're going to do some some deep jump training, which again puts great stress on that stretch shortening cycle. The muscles are already pre-fatigued from your squats, but then you do the jumping after, and it recruits more of the fast twitch fibers to work, which is exactly what you want to force to work when you're in competition, to be more explosive, to be more reactive, and to be faster.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joined us. So start out, you got to get into the heavy weights to engage those fast twitch muscles. But then you've obviously got to do some exercises, like once you've got the strength, to really bring those fast twitch muscles out?
Well, again, Gregor, too, I want to qualify the comment. There would be, for a young athlete especially, you want to be cautious about going into those 1 to 5 repetition strength training loads. There would be a progression up to that point, obviously. So, and the game plan would be like a lot of big multi-joint type movements, a lot of squats, a lot of lunges, like front squats, like different variations of squats for the lower body. But you'd also want to engage the upper body in the same sort of protocols. And there's like plyometric type drills that you can, like, for your upper body as well, that enhance the stretch shortening cycle in your chest and your back. A qualified trainer could certainly put all of that work together. And working with medicine balls, for example, for your upper body, where you're doing quick reactive drills. So there's ways to work the whole body, not just the lower body. So, and regardless of what sport, doesn't matter whether it's hockey, baseball, basketball, there's things that are very specific to those sports as far as your plyometric or your stress shortening cycle drills go. Like, it's all, you can work the whole body that way.
Woods, I love it. Great stuff. Now, to enhance it, what about, you know, for those athletes who just have slow twitch muscles, there's still lots of, as we mentioned, like in the marathon, you know, it doesn't mean you can't be a great athlete, but you have better endurance. What are ways to enhance those then? If we're getting into the heavy weights to engage the faster twitch muscles, is there a way to engage the slower?
Well, yeah, and with the slower twitch muscle fibers, I mean, typically it's more endurance training. It's higher volumes of training, and it's a little easier to tap into that system, because any of our day-to-day actions, quite frankly, where you're placing very low demands on the muscular systems, we engage the slow twitch fibers to work just doing the most simplistic tasks, whether we're going to pick up a bag of groceries, we're going to pick up the kids, or, you know, open a door. So they're engaged all the time. So I don't know that you'd really need a training-specific program to engage the slow twitch fibers outside of just if you're an endurance athlete, like a marathon runner, you know, logging your miles. Probably you're gonna look after forcing the slow twitch stuff to work pretty naturally. You're not going to have to work at it. So it's more about biomechanics and things like that as far as your volume of training goes when it comes to slow twitch fiber recruitment.
Great stuff, Jeff. We appreciate it. You can, if you want more info, go to customfit.ca and Woods will help you out. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good, Gregor. I'm going to post a little information on the type of training we talked about today, and I'll tag you in it for the show.
Yeah, tweet it on me, and then I will retweet that. Yeah, that's great.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
Perfect.